Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Greg Deering. Joining me today is American Farm Bureau President Zippy Dubald, who will deliver the keynote address at Kansas Farm Bureau's annual meeting in Manhattan on December 7th. President Dubald, welcome and thanks for joining me today.
I'm proud to be with you, and I look forward to being with the Farm Bureau members in Kansas.
We are excited to have you. I don't want you to give everything away, but would like to hear just what should the members of Kansas Farm Bureau expect to hear from you on December 7th?
I'd like to make sure that I communicate all the things that we're involved in and talk a little bit from a very high level of the issues that are facing our farmers and then, you know, how Kansas Farm Bureau and their staff and their grassroots members and American Farm Bureau work together to make sure not only that we make sure that Kansas issues get speak to, but the issues that affect farmers all across America.
And I know you talk to a lot of members across the country. What's one message that you hope they take away from your visits? And just as important, what do you want to hear from members when you visit with them?
The main mission is to make sure that people understand how valuable their voice is. The most valuable tool we have in our toolbox is a farmer's story of how the issue affects them and how policies are shaped and how they can help or hurt our farmers. And those stories are just really powerful. So I want to hear those stories from farmers that have them to share with me. But then, of course, I always try to leave a group empowered to be involved with this organization. We're made up mostly of medium, small-sized farms. If you look at the statistics, and that is the place where we all come to join together to create one united voice so that our voice will get heard. And that's why it's important to be part of your County Farm Bureau so that you, in turn, are in part of this, the state and the national organization. And it is a powerful tool when we utilize this organization.
You talk about the power starting at really the grassroots level here. Can you provide our members, our listeners, just a little bit of what AFBF is working on with Congress and the administration, especially on the labor and immigration fronts, which are vitally important for our Kansas farmers?
As I travel across the country, the number one issue I hear about outside the economy, of course, right now is labor. The labor is that long time issue that we've been talking about for 30 years. And really and truly, right now is probably the best opportunity we have to speak to that. And we're not only working through coalitions of other groups like us that are experiencing the same issue, but we're working with the White House. I've had a direct conversation, one-on-one conversation with the president about the issues that we face around labor and the issues we are faced within the H-2A program itself and how outdated it is. So we're working with the president, the White House, USDA, and Department of Labor, trying to make sure that we modernize the H-2A program and Congress, and also to take some of these harmful regulations around labor that's been put on us over the last 4 to 6 years and try to fix some of those regulations that take the burden off the farmer so that we can secure some labor that can come to our farm and work for us.
And on another important topic that's top of mind during harvest season right now, trade obviously vital for agriculture. Where do you see the most promising opportunities and the biggest threats right now in the global marketplace?
Well, you know, the biggest threat right now is China's not buying. And we're in the middle of a trade war with a lot of tariffs. And obviously, our policy does not support tariffs. But with my one-on-one conversation with the president, I had to tell him, sit in front of him and say, "Mr. President, we don't support your tariffs." And his comment was, "Well, the tariffs is what's going to bring these countries to the table so I can help fix your problems." So we hope that the president is right, and our farmers and ranchers are doing everything they can do to try to weather this difficult storm that's come along with it. So, you know, the president and leadership of China is going to be meeting at the end of the month, and hopefully they can come to some agreement to be able to move some commodities out of our country into that country. You know, I think it's big. One, some of the big opportunities are within those frameworks they've already released. You know, with the EU and the UK. There's some frameworks there that's going to be helpful to agriculture and agricultural products. They just got to finish the deal. They haven't finished the deal. And then, of course, the one that is just barely cracked open just a little bit that has huge potential is India. And if we could ever break through that wall, it would be big for agriculture. But, you know, along with trade, what we have to do is to decide what our country wants to do to have more domestic use of our commodities, especially in the corn soybean area, with biofuels. Are we going to continue that commitment? I tell everyone on Capitol Hill, I've told the president directly, that E15 year-round is a no-brainer. We need to do that. It doesn't cost the government anything. And the only pushback, and it's not as hard as it used to be, is from the oil companies. But they're making money. We're not. We're losing money. And this is something we need to do. And then I think there's great potential in sustainable aviation fuel. But the airlines and the government has got to make a commitment before the investment comes to make that happen. And it would take some time to do that. But that is a huge potential for us.
Obviously, prices on the grain commodity side of things aren't where we would like to see them. I know that adds stress during a busy time here in the fall. What role do you see Farm Bureau playing to address rural mental health challenges? And how is AFBF poised to better support the diverse membership across the country at the state and local level?
Well, of course, most people know, and I hope they know. If they don't, I'm hoping they're going to learn from this conversation and my visit to Kansas. We're very, very concerned about the economic situation across the country and all commodities, not just grains, but all commodities. Maybe with the exception of beef. Beef's in a good time right now. But everywhere else, it's very difficult. And we're making a big push to make sure that the administration knows what the situation is. I've talked to the president directly, explained to him why the situation is what it is. But we're also putting a push out there of things that we can do that puts us back on a track of helping us get to be more financially sustainable. And we made that move this week and looking forward to what's going to come out in the discussions from that. As far as mental health, several years ago, we dipped our toe into trying to create a place where farmers and ranchers could go to and help. You know, us old farmers, we kind of crusty around the edges, and talking about our feelings just ain't a cool thing to do. You know, and a lot of us would sit back and say, no, we're not going to talk about that. But having been an individual that's lost his wife after 42 years, having a son that went to war and fought in the war, you go through those times when you got storms in your brain, your mind, and you sometimes you need help. And that help may come in the shape of just somebody listening, or it may come from having a conversation with somebody that you don't know that's experienced something similar, or it may be a professional help that you need. Fortunately, I didn't need professional help, but I did have some friends and some reporters that got me into some conversations that helped me through those difficult times. So in that experience that I had, I put extra effort into us as an organization being there for our farmers and ranchers and our neighbors and our family members with the Farm State of Mind program. And we've done a lot of work there with Farm Credit and Farmers Union to make sure that Farm State of Mind program is there for our farmers to have access to resources and 24-hour-a-day, every day of the year, free-of-charge counseling if a farmer sees fit to go in that direction. But it's something there on our website. It's called Farm State of Mind, that anyone that has a loved one going through it, or they're going through it themselves and probably want to be able to try to seek out some type of help, whether it be just a discussion within a peer group or whatever it might be, it's there for them to utilize. And, you know, I told staff if we could just make a difference in one person's life, it would be worth all the effort we put into it.
Right. I really appreciate you mentioning that it doesn't necessarily require professional help. It's talking to that friend, talking to that neighbor, checking in on each other to make sure that everyone is doing all right to get through this.
But, yep. Just take them for a cup of coffee or a ride down the road. Sometimes that's all it takes. And, you know, and being crusty and not wanting to talk about it, I'll tell you from a person that has experienced some of those times. And if you live to be my age, you've experienced them. You might not want to admit it, but you've experienced them. And it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay not to talk about it. you bottle it up inside of you, it will destroy you. And we, as your friends and neighbors, we love you and we want to be able to be there for you when you need us in whatever way we can.
Moving on to a happier note, what excites you most about the agriculture industry today and moving forward?
Well, you know, it's got to be the young people in this organization, and the research and development and innovation is coming down the pipes of how we can be more sustainable, whether it be with our natural resources or whether it be being more efficient. You know, it just continues to get better and better and better, you know, and those things excite me. And the young people out there, we're working hard to make sure that agriculture provides you with financial sustainability by working with all these issues that we've already talked about, and we're going to continue to do that. But we need young people to take an interest in agriculture. And from our foundation to trying to get agriculture in the classroom and our science classes to a recruitment of young people in colleges with collegiate programs, all along through the Young Farmer and Rancher program, all along the line, there's some place for young people to get involved with this organization that not only helps them be a better advocate for agriculture, but helps them be a better farmer and find other people that they can fellowship with that's going through the same kind of problems that, or challenges or opportunities that they're going through, so that they can make some of the best decisions in their, you know, on their operations back home. But the young people are where I find my excitement. And I tell them, when God opens up an opportunity for you to grow, whether it be a Farm Bureau leader or whether it be a leader in your church or whether it be a leader on your farm, you stick your foot in that door and don't let anybody stop you. Because whatever you put your mind to, you can make happen.
You mentioned the leadership opportunities available in Farm Bureau, not only to young folks, but any member. And what I've always found so fascinating and empowering about Farm Bureau is that it truly is a bottom-up organization. And that's why we are so effective. What is your message to members? How do you get them to understand they are the policy? They influence the policy. They come up with the policy. What's your advice to them on how to do that effectively and stay engaged with Farm Bureau?
Well, it starts at the county level, just like you said, and resolutions coming from the county is what starts the process of getting whatever that thought, that idea is into our national policy book. And I guess one of the things I try to make sure that all people that are new to our organization realize is you may put that idea forward this year. It may take 5, 6, 7 years for it to end up in a national book, because you have to do the advocacy work to make sure people understand what the benefit of that policy or resolution really is. So you put it out there one time and it doesn't make it, it makes it through the state, but it doesn't make it a national book. You bring it back next year if you think it's valuable. That's what this organization is built on. That's how we create one united voice, is that determined determined engaged member pushing that idea forward, saying this is important to me. It's important by community. It's important to my industry, my commodity that I grow. And I need for people to hear me and listen to me and let me tell you why it's good for the things it's good for. And you know, when that happens, we eventually get to a point where everybody understands it, it becomes national policy, and then everybody works for American Farm Bureau is pushing that policy forward. But it all depends on that engaged member bringing that idea forward and being determined that they're going to be the advocate for that idea and push it through. And be patient as you do it, because sometimes it takes years and several processes to get it there.
I think that's it for my questions, President Duvall. Do you have any other thoughts here before we go?
Well, I would encourage you, if you're listening to this and if you're a Farm Bureau member, I would encourage you to come out and be part of this convention in Kansas. I know that the business work that they do as far as policy is crucially and vitally important to our organization and to the process that we depend on each and every day. But the fellowship and the camaraderie that you'll build within the Farm Bureau family can be very, very valuable to you as an individual and as a business person and as a farmer. So I encourage you all to come out and be part of it. I hope you'll come and bring your stories with you, share them with me, because you never know, your story may come through my lips to the President of the United States one day, and it might make a difference in all of our lives. So please come and share with us. And, you know, if you don't have the opportunity to speak to me directly, send it to me in an email. But I love to have farmer stories. And I'll tell you, the 25 minutes I spent with the President last month, the stories that I shared were very impactful to him. And I was in there 25 minutes because he could not find a place to stop asking me questions about you, the farmer of this great country.
Zippy, thanks for visiting with me today. And I know all of us here in Kansas are looking forward to seeing you in Manhattan at our annual meeting in December.
I look forward to it, and I'm excited about being there. It'll be one of 8 or 10 that I make this fall, and it's going to be an important one. So I look forward to seeing everyone there. Hope you have a great harvest and do it in a safe way, and come and join us in Manhattan.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, please give it a like and share with others. I'm Greg Deering, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.